Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. Hope the start of your day's going better than ours. 7:13. Yeah. We're a little late. Seth and James here with you. Hope you guys are having a great start to your day out there. Thanks so much for joining us. We're going to treat you good this morning, get you ready for your weekend. A little bit of technical difficulties.
Yes, our automation system decided to play an early April Fool's Day joke on us.
Yeah. Ha! Real funny,
real
tech.
Real
funny, computers. You guys are hilarious. We're so thankful for you. Big shout out to our GM, our head engineer, Chuck. Nice work, Chuck. We appreciate you. We're going to have some fun today, but we got to make up for the little lost time. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. Seth and I are also going to give you some things to look forward to in April. Let's see here. I've got a list of the non-obvious signs that someone is super rich.
Non-obvious.
Yeah,
okay.
Wait, what is that?
Okay.
We're going to help you if you're not feeling confident and what to do about that.
All right.
And, of course, we have an 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little after Melissa's news in that 8 o'clock hour, we're going to play Star of the Day with you.
All right.
Looking forward to that. That's
yes,
going to be a lot. Yeah. 9 o'clock hour, we're going to have some entertainment news, good stories of the day, that ain't right stories, plenty more coming up throughout the whole show. Seth, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing better now.
Yeah.
Now that we got this part working.
It's one of those things. It's so frustrating because you've got the, it feels like all you should need to do is turn the microphones on.
Exactly. Right?
And we just start talking and that should be enough. But there's so many other things involved.
Yeah, it does.
And I think that because we're so, I think because we are adaptable. You have to be in this business.
Oh, yeah.
I would say that it's one of the highest qualities you could have in radio is being able to be adaptable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the reason why I like working with actors. Because actors are adaptable. Actors
right.
can improv. Mm-hmm. If you can't, you should not be an actor.
No.
when it comes to these kind of things, you got to be able to just work on the fly and everything.
Yep.
With that, that kind of throws a little bit of things off this morning. But,
a little bit.
It's also whether we admit it or not to ourselves or it's subconscious or whatever, it's part of why we're in this business.
It's true. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Never know.
Do want to say that there are some things we can count on. We have the greatest listeners in radio. Do want to thank everybody that messaged me this morning, letting us know that we weren't on the air. We were having some difficulties. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that.
Yep.
Thank you for listening. Also want to say a gigantic thank you to a couple of friends of ours here at the station. First, our good friend Diane.
Mm.
She made us cookies again.
Easter themed cookies.
Yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah.
They're very good. Oh man, they look so good.
I will be diving into those very soon, Diane. Thank you so much. I'm a huge fan of Diane's baking.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'm a big fan of Diane's baking.
I think we all are around
here. I would try to get adopted, Diane, by Diane, if it meant I get more cookies. Yes, I'd change my last name even. Maybe.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know. It's worth it. I appreciate you, Diane. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And a big thank you to Sally Kistner, of course. Sally Kistner, the executive director of the Arts Council.
Mm-hmm.
Sally joins us throughout the year when the Arts Council has their shows. They got the off season right here, getting ready for that next season.
That's right.
But Sally sent us a card and a thank you note, handwritten, and everything. And there's something to me that just there's something that means something like that.
It does.
And she doesn't have to do this. She thanks us plenty when she's here and everything.
Yeah.
Sally, thank you for that. That is really sweet. That's a nice way, especially in a morning like today. Really nice way to start the day with some cookies and a thank you cards and stuff. We appreciate that so very much.
Good way to start a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Yeah. We are going to go ahead and take a quick commercial break. We just got here. No, we're going to take a quick commercial break to keep us on time.
Exactly.
And then we'll be back with our National Day of Calendar. It's Seth and James taking you through your morning at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the morning show. Wait, are we on the air?
Double check one more time.
Hope you all are having a great start to your Friday out there. Happy Friday, everybody. It is Friday.
It's Friday.
We're going to have some fun. Seth and James here with you at 7:19 on the clock. Time to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this final day of March the 31st.
Mm-hmm.
And we kick things off with it being International Transgender Day of Visibility.
Oh, very nice.
It's an important day.
It is.
Important to be able to note these things, be able to bring awareness and attention to them, as well as empathy, I would think.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah. Understanding.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. Beth and I have been kind of in and out watching the original Night Court. Inspired by the new, you know, the reboot that they just they just started. And one of the episodes was one of Dan's best college friends came back as transgender.
Yes.
And this was back in 1984, 85.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say they handled it really well considering the time.
Yeah, I remember that episode. It was really well done.
Yeah.
It also, that reminds me of The World According to Garp. Which I, for me as a young person, that was the first time I saw anything, TV, movie, anything like that, touching the subject of transgenderism, with the great John Lithgow playing a former football player who was transferring into a woman. I thought they did a fairly decent job for the 80s.
Right.
But you hear both in Seth and I's voice some hesitancy to reference these things, or not reference them, but to give them too much credit because we had a long way to go. And this just gives you an example because the 80s, not that long ago.
It really wasn't.
Though it feels like it sometimes. that wasn't that long ago. So these kind of days are very important.
Mm-hmm.
It's a part of our society. They are human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't have to go any deeper than that.
Exactly.
Like, that's all it should take.
100%.
Especially to plenty of you out there that are deeply religious. Because if I understand correctly, supposed to be accepting of all.
That's
supposed
correct.
To be understanding of all. I don't see enough of that.
Everyone is a child of God. Yes. Yeah.
It is National Bunsen Burner Day. Yay, Bunsen Burner. I'm Bunsen Honeydew.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's right where I went, man.
My mind went right
Bunsen
there.
Bunsen Honeydew,
Thank you very much, Jim Henson. I'm Bunsen Honeydew.
Got us to think about science, though. Got to give him credit for that.
Poor Beaker. Bunsen burners are great, though.
Yeah.
Dangerous. And I don't know why they let so many of us around them. Like, at least certain classmates of mine, I don't think, should have been around them.
You know, it's funny. If you think about it, it was like the most interesting thing in your science lab because it was an open flame.
Yes.
And the kids, of course, are like drawn to open flames, like moths to a light, you know.
Yes.
So it's like, whoa, wow, we're playing with fire today. Yeah.
You knew that all of a sudden, like, the game had changed because there was open fire.
Yes.
Like, we were putting acids into bodies, you know.
We were making things blow up. Yeah, you know? Science.
Science is cool.
Yeah.
The Bunsen burner was invented in 1854 out of the need for a cleaner, hotter flame that could be used in laboratory experiments. In 1852, the University of Heidelberg had hired Robert Bunsen and promised to build him a brand new laboratory building, complete with the newest technology, marvel, coal, gas, streetlights, and lighting that the city itself had just begun to install. The current burners used in chemistry labs were simply not sufficient to task at hand, leaving the beakers smeared and lacking the necessary heat and control.
Right.
For many experiments, they were also expensive to operate and were unnecessarily complicated. So it was that Robert Bunsen got together with Peter Desedja with some principles that he believed a new burner should be built on. And they built it.
Well, they named it after the Bunsen guy and not the other one.
Yeah.
That one just doesn't flow off the tongue like Bunsen.
National Desagia Day.
Yeah, exactly. No, that doesn't work. Yeah.
Oh, this is funny. It's World Backup Day. That's funny. That's a good one. Yeah, yeah. Definitely back up your systems, people.
If you talk to Chuck about back up everything, always.
Yes, yes.
Talk to IT people. Always back up everything.
I can't think of anything. Okay, all right. I just thought of it. There's only one thing that I hadn't been backing up: my music. I lost my complete music library the other day.
Oh no!
I am hurting right now.
Oh.
So that back everything up and back it up again
and do it again.
Especially with my writing. I email stuff to myself
and
keep it in a folder and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this thing my papa gave me a while back. It's about the size of my phone. It's just a memory holder.
External hard drive.
Yep. Thank you. That thing has like room for days on it. I keep tons of stuff on there.
Very smart.
Wear a hat day. Seth and I didn't get the memo.
We didn't know. No hats
didn't,
today.
Didn't, I would have definitely worn one. I'll take any chance to wear a hat. Hats are great.
Yeah, especially your Sox won last night, too.
Yeah, so, you know, they did.
Where's the White Sox at?
Eiffel Tower Day.
Nice.
That's a good one. Is this the day the Eiffel Tower was? Let's see here. It's time to celebrate the epic architectural wonder that lies on the skyline of the city of love. That's right. This day offers opportunity to pay heed to the beauty and magnificence that is represented by this enormous iron structure, because it's Eiffel Tower Day.
Okay.
Eiffel Tower Day is a time that is all about celebrating the wonderful monument that stands proudly in Paris, which is also known as the City of Light. Mm-hmm. The day marks the completion of the Eiffel Tower on this day in 1899.
Okay, there you go.
The construction of the Eiffel Tower was a unique feat of engineering to build, spanning a period of 2 years, 2 months, and 5 days in total. That's impressive.
It is. And they couldn't have sped it up for like 3 days. It would have been 2 years, months, and 2 days. No,
they just couldn't.
Like they cared.
The construction, which is one of the most unique in the world, was constructed for the International Exhibit of Paris during the 100th anniversary of the French Revolution.
Mm.
The structure was built in connection with the World's Fair in Paris. It was named after the principal engineer, Gustave Eiffel.
Mm-hmm.
The most recent John Wick movie takes place in Paris and there's a couple of scenes and that are just legendary, the way that they film them and the shots you get. I've never been too drawn to Paris, to France in general, but it's certainly, if I'm in Europe, it's one of those places I feel like you got to go.
You got to at least check it out. Yeah, yeah. I'm with you.
National Prom Day.
All right.
Go
have your prom.
And National Cream Cheese Frosting Day.
Oh.
That's a great one.
I love cream cheese. Some good spice cake with some, you know, cream cheese frosting.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Good stuff.
Yes, I said I like that certain kind of cake. I said it. See? See? It's not all hate.
See, Seth's growing. Seth, this is the arc of Seth right here. It all involves cake. It's also National Crayon Day.
Nice.
Crayon began its life as a company in 1885 when cousins Edwin Binney and C. Harold Smith took over a pigment business that Edwin's father had previously owned. By 1903, the cousins had created a set of colorful drawing sticks for young artists by combining Perifex wax with non-toxic, kid-friendly pigments.
Nice.
While children had often used chalk or paints for drawing. Those were both messy. Crayola came up with their brilliant solution, and it has lasted for more than a century.
Yes, indeed.
We love crayons.
Where would we be without crayons?
Crayons are great.
Mm-hmm.
It's also National Tater Day.
Tater Day.
I like them fried fried potatoes. I like them.
French fried potatoes.
I like them fried fried potatoes. Taters are good. Tomorrow, taking a look at tomorrow. Taters are good. Taters are good.
Yes.
taking a quick glance at tomorrow, it is International Firewalk Day. I want to know what that is.
No, thank you.
Yeah. When you hear the phrase, they walk through the fire, it's usually a metaphor for a particularly tough period of life. When you talk about firewalking, on the other hand, you're quite literally talking about the people who have walked through the fire with bare feet placed upon the coals every step of the way.
No, thanks.
The history of International Firewalk Day stretches back into prehistory with its first records of it being done in 1200 BCE.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow.
This is, in many cultures, it could be not only a healing process, but a growing process.
Yep. Very spiritual. Yep.
Yeah. And honestly, I have no interest in bungee jumping or certain things.
Okay.
But the adrenaline person in me, I would definitely do this.
Really? Okay.
In the right circumstance, I would definitely do this.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I don't know why.
I'd have to be convinced very hardly, or be chased by someone with a knife. And then I'd go do it.
The motivation doesn't hurt.
Exactly.
Even if I agree to do it, I may ask for that motivation anyway. I mean, International Pillow Fight Day is Saturday. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Just don't do the old Bugs Bunny thing where you put the cinder block in there. Don't do that. Okay.
Want to be careful of that.
Yeah.
Saturday is fun day.
Just fun.
Yeah, just make sure you have fun Saturday. Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Shake off this stress that allows everyone to slow down and take a break, whether it's for a few minutes or a few hours on fun day. People will feel refreshed and relaxed. So make sure to get some fun in tomorrow. And you deserve it.
No matter
who you are out there, you deserve it. Reading is funny day is Saturday. That's a good one.
Reading is funny.
Reading is Funny Day was created for the purpose of showing young readers that reading a book can be just as enjoyable and entertaining as other forms of entertainment. For instance, playing a video game or watching the television. In order to ensure that books are as appealing as possible to young children, this day focuses on books that are funny. Good examples include books of riddles, comic books, joke books, a book of puns.
Don't get your kids joke books.
No.
Because then that's all you will hear.
Oh, yeah.
For a long time after that.
Yeah. I feel like you know what you're talking about.
I was on both ends. My parents made the mistake of giving me one. And then I made the mistake. So we keep the tradition alive.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. And your mom and dad just smile and just sit back and smile.
Yep.
And just,
you know,
Saturday is also National DIY Day.
Nice.
Get some fun in while getting some of those DIY projects done. Do it yourself. I love doing things around the house on myself.
Yes,
I get it from my father. National Handmade Day, a great day to appreciate and maybe purchase items that are handmade.
Yeah. Goes well with DIY Day, though. Mm-hmm. Handmade, DIY, yeah, I like that.
And April Fool's Day, of course.
Of course.
Now, what about the history of April Fool's Day?
Okay.
In medieval Europe, the holiday was associated with the start of the new year, which was traditionally celebrated on March 25th. However, in the 16th century, the Catholic Church changed the calendars so that the new year began on January 1st. Some people resisted this change and continued to celebrate the new year on March 25th, and they were often mocked and ridiculed by those who had adopted the new calendar. This may have contributed to the development of April Fool's Day as a holiday dedicated to pranks and jokes. I still don't feel like that explains it.
No, it really doesn't.
How did we get from March 25th to April 1st?
They left a lot out here, and I'm curious.
There's a lot of missing things here.
And this is speculation, too. I don't think they really know. I don't think anyone knows the actual reason April Fool's Day became what it was. It really evolved from something. But
tell me how fascinating that. Imagine if we celebrated, we celebrated Halloween, but we had no idea why.
Right.
We had this tiny bit of history, and that was it, and we just kind of, went with it.
Yeah.
Isn't it feel like we just do that in society sometimes? Like,
with
we're just going to go with this.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been doing it this long. We're just going to keep on doing it this way. We don't know if it's the best way to do it. Like toilets. It's the same thing. Like the toilet paper.
Yeah, right.
We know now scientifically that is not the cleanest way to clean ourselves. But you know what? We've been doing it this way. Let's keep doing it this way. That doesn't make
any
sense.
We've always done it that way.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I feel like, though, and I think of my mother often on April Fool's Day, how my mother must have felt when she had me on April. She was supposed to have me on April 1st, tomorrow, and I was born on February 20th.
That tells you something, right?
I can't. She's got to have felt the same way. Like, wait, there's something missing here. Why is this child being born now? I was not ready for this. I didn't sign up for
your
this.
Own April Fool's joke. That's how you came into this world.
The joke that keeps giving. have fun with April Fool's Day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Know your audience.
Please.
For the love of God, know your audience. There are certain people you do not want to prank.
Nope.
There are certain people that can't take a joke, and you should know that by now if you're doing this.
Please.
And have fun with it. If you are questioning, is this too mean, it probably is. Mm-hmm. Trust me on that one. Yeah. My mother and I are the only ones in our family that love April Fool's Day, mm-hmm. and we have learned the hard way, both of us, through our own ways of messing with my father or my sister or my brother. And yeah.
Be very careful.
Sunday is National Peanut Butter and Jelly Day. Peanut butter, jelly time, peanut butter, jelly time. National Ferret Day. Both are great. Don't have them together.
I was going to say, not together, though.
No.
Keep them separate.
And ferrets, not big fans of peanut butter jelly.
Okay.
Not big fans.
Good to know.
No. I've been around a lot of ferrets. They're good
no
animals.
Wonder my ferret trap hasn't been working. Dang it.
Why did I put roast beef in there? International Children's Book Day is Sunday as well.
Oh, that's a good one.
Education and Sharing Day on Sunday. That's mm-hmm. a fantastic one. And most importantly, out of the weekend, I would say World Autism Awareness Day is Sunday.
Yes, indeed.
Autism affects approximately one out of every 150 children around the world. It is a neural development disorder that affects the ability to socialize normally by impacting their abilities to utilize verbal and nonverbal communication. Since 2012, there have been a 30% increase in the amount of children being affected with autism. And World Autism Awareness Day helps to bring awareness to the growing health concern. This day was established back in 2007 by the United Nations. The General Assembly put together Resolution 62/139, which consisted of four major elements. The day was meant to include the participation of all UN organizations and its member states.
All right.
The history of autism begins in the early to mid-1900s when European psychiatrists began diagnosing the disorder, although at the time it was considered to be a form of schizophrenia. Doctors in Switzerland, Russia, Austria, and the United States were a few of the prominent people who made strides towards the understanding of autism as a disorder. So for just a two-part thing here, one, you notice that it took many different continents, many different doctors from different cultures, and different ways of thinking to come together on this. We need more of that in our world. It is also part of how we survived the pandemic and how we found a cure as quick as we are, a vaccine as quick as we did.
Yes, indeed.
We need more of this in our society. Get your egos out of the way, doctors and scientists, and get to work and start saving people.
Yes, please.
But also, it tells you how long autism has been around. There are still people out there, just like there are Holocaust deniers and other things, that believe that this is something that is in a person's head. You're right, it is in their head. Like, literally. It's a chemical,
thing. It's a neurological thing. Yeah.
Yes. An understanding that I think helps not only you, but begins the path to empathy in creating that. And it shouldn't take this. My godson is autistic. I have friends that are. I work with a lot of students that are autistic nowadays, especially in the last couple of years. And I have never met an autistic person that doesn't have one of the greater hearts I've ever known.
Yeah.
That if there is one common thing with autism that I have experienced, it is that. And a need for some understanding.
Yes, 100%.
We are going to take a break right here, get to Melissa's news. We'll come back, have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. Don't tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. I'll tell you what I want. I want a new head of sound.
Man.
I want a new new head of sound. Seth, I don't hear you. I don't even hear you. Welcome back to The Morning Show.
You and Terry just will not give me a break. By the way, if Terry's listening, be careful what you wish for, okay? I'm going to tell you that right now.
I like this. I like it.
There may be a Terry bumper thing showing up, and I don't know if you'll like it or not.
Yeah,
so.
That's perfect. We need that. That's perfect. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Seth and James here with you at 7:41 on the clock. Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. We are here to get you ready for your weekend and have some fun while we do it. We got a bunch of things I want to get into. We are going to touch on a couple of fun ones here, but this one is a little interesting to me, Seth. Well, actually, let me get to this one first. This is where I actually want to start our show today with a Guinness World Record.
Oh, cool.
But not from who you would always expect it to be.
All right.
A pair of Harlem Globetrotter players visited Guinness World Records headquarters in London and broke a world record for the fastest time to bounce a ping pong ball into five cups.
Whoa.
Guinness World Records said Torch George and Scooter Christensen. God, those are good names.
They always have the best. The Globetrotters have the best names.
Greatest names.
Yes.
Became the first Globetrotters to break a non-basketball record when they visited London and took on the ping pong bouncing ball challenge.
That's awesome.
The duo managed to bounce ping pong balls into the five cups in only 2.18 seconds, breaking the record of 2.87.
Wow.
Which was set by David Rush and Jonathan Hannon in 2021.
Wow.
The players attempted for other records, including a clear a game of Hungry Hippos, and most ping pong balls bounced into a cup in 1 minute, but they were unable to add a second title to their names, but they did try.
Oh, that's cool.
That is awesome. I'm just glad that there is still a Harlem Globetrotters, that this still exists.
Oh, man. There is nothing. And I know they're not like the cultural icons they used to be.
Yeah.
But if you ever get a chance, if you get a chance to go to see them live and have fun, it is so much fun.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so unique in the annals of entertainment and sports together, because there's nothing more, they put it together so well. The entertainment part along with the sports, because they're also very good athletes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's there's nothing like it.
I saw the Globetrotters when they were in Point, and it was one of the greatest things I've ever seen. honestly. Mm-hmm. It was just amazing. It was awesome.
So much fun.
It was everything that I love as a not only art fan, but sports fan. Mm-hmm. And part of what I love about basketball is that I think it's the most artistic sport. It's got some of the most visual beauty to it and everything of the human body, of what we can do with our bodies and all that.
Right.
And then you see the Globetrotters. And they add also pomp and circumstance and fun and all this stuff into it. I could not agree with you more, man. If you get a chance to see the Globetrotters, do yourself a favor and do that. And
yes.
I just thought I'd look just at their website. I've never gone to their website. It's great. And it is. They are busy. They've got a world. They are huge around the rest of the world still.
Mm-hmm.
So while they are touring, I see they're going to be in Springfield on March 31st, Kansas City tomorrow, Wichita. They're going to be in Arkansas, Tennessee. So, I mean, they got tons of tour dates. I'm looking at this, and they are busy. They are still definitely very active. And that
yes, they are.
Man, that warms my heart. There's a good story of the day, everybody. Harlem Globetrotters still going strong. Washington Generals, not as much.
The poor Generals.
Poor Generals.
The poor
Generals. I don't know. I don't know how the Washington Generals are doing. I'm not sure. I do know that Seth and I are going to take a quick commercial break in a moment. I did want to touch on this one next.
All right.
A new poll found the average American feels insecure 5 times a day.
Ooh.
It's kind of high, but maybe in 24-hour cycle, you know, maybe not as much.
Mm-hmm.
But half of people who pretend to be confident say it actually makes them more confident.
Mm.
A third overall said it's something they do a lot. The top things that can shake our confidence on a typical day include speaking in front of a large group, not being fully prepared for something, mm-hmm. and being the last person to show up for a meeting. The top jobs we associate with confidence are doctors and nurses, members of the military, people in business, politicians, and athletes. And finally, the poll also looked at the top traits we admire in confident people, and the top five are being knowledgeable, kind, decisive, authoritative, and fearless.
Hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Radio announcer wasn't on there? No,
yeah, right? Yeah.
We have to do all those things. Come on.
Yeah, yeah. If you cannot do this job with confidence, you will get eaten alive.
Yeah, that's right.
And that is the case for everything I do.
Yes.
Yet I am one of the least confident people I know. But it isn't from faking it. I don't believe in that. I think that there are some circumstances in life where you kind of have to do that because you're new to something or you're getting used to something or getting acquainted. But overall, I'm just not a believer in that. I genuinely believe that confidence is something that you can't fake, even when you think you're faking it. Others can tell.
I think I know what you're saying.
I've been around plenty of people that the quote unquote alpha male is like this to me. I've never met an actual alpha male. I've met plenty of men that call themselves alpha males, think they're alpha males, but I've never actually met an alpha male.
Right.
I don't believe, outside of the animal kingdom, I don't believe that that actually exists. I believe that 1,000%.
Yeah, I think you're right.
100% that there is no actual thing as a human alpha male. There are lots of guys walking around thinking they are, and they ain't fooling anybody, though.
Not really.
The idea of politicians, athletes, people in business faking confidence? No. No, see right through it. See right through it. For me, at least.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm alone on that one.
Well, and that's an interesting point you make, because you look at let's go to sports, because we both know it really well.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, a confidence, you know, that you have to have in order to do things. Okay, or this pitcher's not doing well. We send him down to the minors to get back his confidence, kind of thing. You can't fake that.
No.
If that's the kind of confidence you need, it has to be real. You have to be able, like, yeah, this fastball, I'm going to throw it by this guy, kind of thing. So I think you've got a really good point.
I generally think that's something that you have to build up.
Yeah, you do. You very much do. So, you know,
repetition.
Get rid of the one of my favorite Italian words, braggadocio. Get rid of that. Nice. Okay, that's not a thing. You know,
that's
just faking it. So get some real confidence.
You really want confidence? Work at it.
Yeah, exactly.
Build on it.
And it's not that it's easy. You know,
it
can be tough to get confidence, especially in certain things. Yeah.
It took me. You know, I'm still building it. It's an everyday thing for me.
Yeah.
And it takes time, but I think also there's a beauty in getting older too with that not only do you gain experiences and repetitions, but you also start to care less. The ads well. They add,
that's
help
true.
Each other. They add to
the goals
each other.
Become a little more realistic, you know?
Yes. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Was that outside? Oh, yeah, it's a horn. It was a horn outside. I have no idea if the audience could hear it. That was the saddest horn I've ever heard in my life. That's exactly how it sounded. It sounded like it wasn't dying, but it wanted to.
Yeah. And it was perfectly timed. Welcome back to the Orange Show.
That was not...
Live radio, man. Live radio.
I like it. Seth and James here with you. We're going to have some fun taking you up to the top of the hour, where CBS News will come in at the top of the hour to catch up on all your world news. After that, we're going to be joined live and direct by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Paul Trombley going to join us to tell you what's in store for us this weekend with Mother Nature. And after all of that, Seth and I have four things to look forward to in April.
Nice.
This is always one of our fun things to do, to start the beginning of a new month, mm-hmm. look at events, TV, movies, holidays, all that stuff coming up in April.
Sure.
We'll get into that then. And, of course, in the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. We'll get to Melissa's News. And after that, we're going to make you a star of the day.
All right.
Right now, this seems like a silly one to me, so why not wrap up the hour with it? Some people love to show off their wealth, and others are subtle. There's a thread online where people are talking about the non-obvious signs that someone is super rich. So I'm wondering, I have not looked at this ahead of time. Okay. I'm wondering, because to me, the difference of rich and super rich is gigantic.
In my head,
I always go back to the Chris Rock joke. You think Oprah's got a lot of money. Oprah's rich. I mean, Oprah's Oprah.
Yeah,
of course
right.
she does. But if Bill Gates woke up in the morning with Oprah's money, he'd jump out a window. There's a big, big, big difference, of being rich and being filthy rich, and being super rich and everything.
Right.
So I don't know. We'll see where this goes.
Okay.
Wearing very nice clothing without any brand identification.
Although, I mean, you have to be pretty stout on fashions to know if it's really, decent kind of clothing. I would be, you could have the most expensive flannel shirt in the world and I wouldn't know it.
Same here. Yeah. I wouldn't have any idea. I know some big name brands,
right.
but I don't know their logos. I don't even know the Versace logo or anything like that.
Yeah.
Me neither. Casually having expensive hobbies like sailing, skiing, and golfing. Yeah.
If they start mentioning that, then yes, for sure.
I will say, here's one, and it's not on the list I'm not seeing here, how they vacation. Certain people, we're going to go, if you're in Wisconsin, we're going to go to the Carolinas or something like that.
Yeah,
We're going to drive there or something like that. That's a trip that most of us can take, and everything. But we're going to Europe. We're like, okay, all right, that's a little different.
Using vacation as a verb. We're vacationing somewhere, right? We're vacationing in the Alps this year. Yeah, that's that kind of thing.
If they say going on holiday, but they're not English.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
yeah. That seems, for some reason, that also seems rich to me. I don't know why. Minimalist style and decor in their homes. That's interesting.
So, and again, that's more personal taste, of course. Yeah. But I could see that. Yeah. If you look at, it's usually the size of the home, though, that gets you, right?
Yeah.
I don't care how minimalist it is inside. Yeah. If it's 30 rooms, then come on now.
Yeah, you got that a wall the size of our building here or something like that. It's got a Monet on it. I'm like, okay. Yeah, this person's doing
There's not much
well.
Here, but they got some money.
Yeah, thanks, minimalist. Yeah, way to really leave a lot of stuff for the rest of us here. Being very selective in those they choose to be friends with or for various legal reasons.
Huh?
Okay. That seems interesting. I don't want to be that kind of rich.
No.
I have no interest in that. I got to worry about what kind of friends I got?
Sorry, I can't hang out with you. There might be lawsuits. No, thanks.
I don't seem... here's a great one, I think. Maybe the biggest example that you... I will say, teeth. You can tell when someone's gone to the dentist or the orthodontist multiple times a year their entire lives, and that's expensive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Teeth should not be as expensive. Going to the dentist should not be as expensive as it is. It's insane. We need our teeth to eat, yet it is not something that is a God-given right or anything like that.
One of the most important organs, I don't know if teeth are considered organs or not, but they're the most important. I mean, think about it. We need it for speaking. You know, we need it for, like you said, for eating. We need, I mean, it's, yeah. No, you're
should
right.
Should not be this way. But no. I will tell you, you can see the exact moment in Tom Cruise's career when he got money. You go back, you watch Legend, you watch what was the other one he did? Risky Business.
Risky Business, Color of
one,
Money. And
the football player one, the one where he was a football player too, with Craig T. Nelson, that one. You watch any of those movies, you're going to see some funky teeth on Tom. Some funky teeth, especially in Legend. After that. Cocktail, all that stuff. Oh, no. Nice smile.
Nice and straight.
Nice big
shiny.
White smile.
Yeah.
That's another example of the white teeth. That's another one there. That'll do it every time.
I don't care how humble a star seems. All of them have really nice teeth.
I'll tell you right now, you'll know exactly when I get money. My teeth, I'll be smiling. I'll actually be showing my teeth. I don't have horrible teeth, but I'm not confident with my smile, so I don't usually show my teeth in smiles.
Right.
But you'll see them then. Big old pearlies. The quality of food they eat. Yeah.
For sure. You know, just go see whatever Gwyneth Paltrow's putting in her basket this week.
Mess. Wow. Did you hear her response when her attorney or the, I don't know if it was the attorney or the defendant asked, you know, this guy has got a, he lost, all this stuff, and you know, his back's all banged up and all these things from her. And what have you lost? And she's like, well, I lost time on the Alps. I'm like, oh God.
No, she didn't.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Like, I got like, this is like the epitome of, this is why, you know, actors need writers.
Yes,
like,
they do.
When left to their own devices sometimes, some of us aren't any good. And yikes.
Well, especially since, I mean, and to be fair, she grew up in privilege.
Yeah.
So this has been her whole entire life. So, yeah.
I've never understood her, like her celebrityism. I've never seen her, like, I don't mean to be mean here or anything, but she's never, like, blown me away as an actor.
Right.
I don't see her look as being something that's that unique. Mm. And obviously, as a person, she's kind of shown her true colors and everything quite a bit over the last, you know, years and everything. There's a reason you don't see her in a lot of TV shows or movies. Or anything like that. It's just, I don't know. I don't get it.
Yep.
Spending extensive time, even full seasons, in another place. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Anybody that has a vacation home or anything like that.
Yes, that's not like a cabin up north, okay? Then you can say, that kind of thing. And we're not talking about snowbirds. That's different.
That's
when you're
different.
Retired going south for the winter.
Very different.
Yes, I'm spending the spring in the south of France kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, no, okay.
Their couches don't touch the wall. That's hilarious.
What?
That's hilarious. I love that. Like, if all rich people, like, they had an inside thing. Like, the only way, like, once you hit a certain milestone or a certain marker, you know, of millions and everything, you can.
Doesn't touch the wall.
You can't let it touch the wall. You are not. Get it out of here. You're out of the millionaire. You're out of the millionaires club if you let your couch touch a wall. It's a rule.
I love that idea.
That's great. I don't see why this even matters, though. I don't really have a lot of care about what people are in other people's wallets any more than I care about other things, what other people are up to.
These are the things they talk about at Davos every year, this list right here.
Yes. I got to imagine that Millionaires Club getting a little smaller. The top 1% and everything, it's not growing.
Concentrated. Yeah.
If anything, they're losing members. They're going to lose Elon any day now. the way he's a businessman.
Yeah, biz quotes. Yeah, businessman.
If he's doing something, I'm doing the opposite of it. Like, just like, okay, this seems like the safer bet. I'm going this route. We'll take a break. We'll come back with our friend Paul Trombley from the Weather Eye Weather Center and plenty more. Seth and James taking you through your morning at WFHR.